Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, title of the message, Fig Trees and Mountains. You know, these verses that we'll cover tonight may be familiar to some of you, but perhaps others not so familiar. But for all of us tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and help us in this word of the Lord. Fig trees and mountains. Let's begin with Mark 11, 12 to 14. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Wow. Jesus spoke to a tree. This tree was ahead of schedule. It was in a microclimate, we would say, perhaps in a sheltered place, and the early spring sun hit upon it, and it was advanced beyond other trees. It had leaves, so you would expect that it would have fruit. Jesus said, "Tree, my purpose for coming over here to you is fruit." And he found none. He said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Fig trees and mountains. Fig trees have roots that go down into the earth. Mountains have roots that go into the earth, the roots of the mountains, these massive rock formations that go deep beneath the earth's surface. Fig trees and mountains. The authority to speak to fig trees and mountains. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." The marginal says, "Have the faith of God." That is, faith that comes by a quickened word from the Lord. A scripture comes alive. The word of God comes alive in you. Have faith, have the faith of God. Faith that comes by a living word from the Lord. Some have taught you get what you say, but it's not true. You get what you say in faith. You get what you say in faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by a word from God. And so we understand how important it is that we get into God's presence and through prayer and promise receive a quickened word that we can then speak. And once we have a word from God, once that word is burning in our hearts, we can speak and we can change the landscape of our life. We can change our future. God created the world with words. And we know how important our words are. And that's why we control our speech, don't we? We're careful about what we say because we know the power that is there. The creative power. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke and the world was brought into being so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. So things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There was nothing there. God spoke, and all of a sudden, a world was formed and created. Genesis 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Holy Spirit over that unformed world hadn't been brought to its full state. The Holy Spirit was brooding, hovering over it, waiting for a word from God. And the Holy Spirit is in us for the same purpose. He is brooding over our lives. He's moving. He's watching over our lives. He's waiting for a word of faith. And God said, and God said, and God said. And we, in like manner, we wait. The Holy Spirit's moving on us. We need a word from God. And when we receive that word of God, we can speak. And we can change the landscape of our life, the way our life unfolds, the topography of our world. God says, this is the authority, this is the privilege I give to my people. Back to Mark 11, 23 to 24, or 20 to 24. Now in the morning, 23 to 24, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We have to speak. Therefore, I say to you, and this is another thought, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whoever says and whoever asks, two different things. We speak to mountains and we ask for things we desire. That's what Jesus said. Whoever says, whoever asks. And the Lord says, this is for every believer. This is a privilege for every believer that we can begin to move down this process in our life and see God establish and form and build things in our life. What are mountains? Mountains are heaped up circumstances that are contrary to what we want in our life. Heaped up circumstances and things that are contrary to what we want in our life. There are different kinds of mountains. There are financial mountains. Physical mountain. Habitual mountain. Attitudinal mountain, mountain of pride, mountain of stubbornness, marital problem in you. We can't go around moving other people's mountains. Jesus is not talking about that. Lord, change this person, change that, change my wife, change my husband, do something. No, God says, you've got to take care of the mountain. Whoever says to this mountain, and sometimes we have those mountains inside of us, don't we? Those resistances, those obstacles to the will and the plan of God. What about spiritual mountains? You can't see them, but you sure feel their effect in your life and situation. When you decide to move your mountain, and you've lived long enough to know that it won't move unless you move it, you get a word of faith, and then you speak with God. You speak with the Lord, and you say, mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, that I will never see you again. In verse 23, we have the principle of getting rid of things in our life that we don't want there. Jesus said, you speak to those mountains. Speak to those mountains. And in verse 24, we have the principle of bringing into our life the things that we do want there. Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Two different ways of dealing with things. Jesus said, you ask for the things you desire, but you speak to mountains. Mark 11:20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Get a living word inside of you and speak. We're not to fall into despair if we don't see the fig tree wither from the top. Faith works at the root systems. Faith works deep in our lives. It goes to the bottom of things. It goes to the source. And this fig tree withered up from the roots. It dried up from the roots. When we speak in this authority of the Lord in our life, you know, we don't have to flaunt our authority. We don't have to, in some way, be boastful. We don't have to scream at things. We've got a word of authority now, and when you have a word of authority, you can speak it and then stand and hold fast to the word you've spoken. Jesus had authority. He spoke the word, and it came to pass in his life and in the situations, and God says, I want to get that into you, my people, and you know how we move in that in our lives. Well, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus was asleep in the boat, in the stern of the boat. Disciples awoke him. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus got up from his early evening nap, looked out over the situation, said, peace, be still, waves, wind, be quiet. I was trying to get some rest. Waves, things that are visible. Winds, things that are invisible. Jesus, where did you get this authority? And wouldn't it be wonderful if people looked at our lives, and they do, and say, where did you get that authority? Look at your composure. Look at your strength. Look at your triumph. Look at your victory. Look at your home life. Look at your children. Look at your character. Look at your kingdom-mindedness and zeal. Where did you get this authority? Well, they asked Jesus. Mark 11 again. Continuing on in the same chapter, then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reason among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He wouldn't tell them, but he told his disciples. He said, you'll have authority by the word of God and by the power of God. This authority comes from the word, and this authority comes from God, and you will have power to speak. and change the landscape of your life and go to the roots of things and break some things out of your life that are there and speak by the word of God and know that what you speak will come to pass because you have a living word from God. Hallelujah. How many have seen some mountains go in their life? Things have been brought down, removed into the sea where you never will see them again. Thank God. Jesus said, you speak to mountains and you ask for things you desire. Zechariah chapter 4, this familiar passage, 6-9. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah at a time when they were rebuilding, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? The people were facing an impasse, an obstacle they did not think they could defeat or bring down, a spiritual opposition. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Who's the head? Christ. Who's the stone? Christ. Who's the headstone? Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we're after, to see him glorified in the house of the Lord and in the building. And the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel was, you just go forth and speak the word of God to that mountain. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. A great mountain that was before the people of God. Now this is a corporate mountain. And let it speak. This is a corporate mount. This is a mountain that a congregation alone can move. What was the mountain that was before the people of God? It was a satanic opposition to the work of God. And we know that Satan opposes the work of God. He opposes the advancement of the house of God and the people of God and what they're building in the earth. We face the very thing, same thing that Zerubbabel and those people did, a satanic opposition to the forward progress of the building of the house of the Lord, the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now what happened? These people fell to a fainting heart. They didn't take up the courage. They didn't take up the speaking to the mountain spirit. They didn't take up a faith spirit. And they fell under the shadow of that mountain. And they actually lived in its shadow. Things are impossible. Things will never change. It's the way it is. And you know what the people did? Because of that fainting spirit and lack of zeal, the people began to go their own way and live their own lives. And they actually put the house of God behind them in many ways, left it in the background. But then one day, a word from God came, and the governor Zerubbabel, a pastor and his people, stood up and began to speak the word of the Lord and began to speak against that corporate mountain of satanic opposition. And soon the landscape changed, and in 4 years the temple of the Lord had been restored and built in the land. Hallelujah. We've got individual mountains, but there's a corporate mountain that we're all responsible for, and we must speak against that mountain. Mountain, you come down. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And so we speak in line with the word of God. We don't speak in line with this is happening and that's happening and what about the church today and did you hear this and did you hear that? We have one word on our lips. O mountain, you come down. Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain and we will bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying favor, favor unto the Lord our God, our precious Savior. Hallelujah. Well, I want to close it out quick. Three things that are vitally important if you're going to move mountains. If you want to move a mountain, these things are important. Number one, a spirit of forgiveness, a clean heart. Mark 11:25, right after Jesus said, speak to mountains and see them removed and ask for things you desire and you will have them. The next verse he said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now notice it says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That is, somebody has sinned against you. There's times where you have something against someone, or they have something against you because you've sinned. There are times the scripture talks about that. Somebody has something against you because you've sinned against that person. We're not talking general forgiveness. We're talking specifics here. And Jesus said, if you come to the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you because of what you've done to them, you leave your gift and go, and you seek forgiveness and right relationship. But here Jesus said, if you have anything against anyone, that is, they've sinned against you, you have a spirit of forgiveness. There are things that are not reconciled immediately. There are some things that are not reconciled that other people have done to us. But Jesus said, I want you to have a spirit of forgiveness. That you say, Lord, that that person's sins would be forgiven, that they would find peace and reconciliation, they would find that purity in before you. We need a spirit of forgiveness. We need a clean heart if we're going to move mountains. Number two, let's have the worship team come. We need holiness, moral purity, a clean life. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness, moral purity, a clean life, a life absolutely surrendered to Jesus. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that speaks to fig trees and they dry up at the roots. Need holiness, moral purity, a clean life. And number three, submission to authority. Honor. Be subject to the ruling powers, Jesus said. Don't fret and fume against the levels of authority in the land and in your life. The Bible warns us not to speak in complaint and disparaging ways, because it's going to hinder what God wants to do in our spirit. Matthew 8:8-10, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. It's noteworthy. Jesus didn't say, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great submission. I have not found such great honor of authority. He said, I have not found such great faith. Because when there is submission to authority, and we are properly honoring spiritual authority in our life, in all dimensions, faith that moves mountains can operate in us. Faith that moves mountains. Well, maybe there are some here tonight. You say, Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. I need to move some mountains. I need to speak to some things. Listen, when you go to move your mountain, you don't have to call anybody else. Jesus said, whoever. He said, this is individual. You speak to your mountain. Well, people may want to encourage you on this or that, but that mountain's only going to move because you begin to speak to it. We speak to the mountain. We don't have to discuss our mountain with other people because they won't understand our faith. They won't understand our faith. You get into discussions, and soon you're not sure where your faith is and what's going on. But you just get in with God, and you say, Lord, you know the thing I'm dealing with. Maybe in your own life amount, and maybe a situation. You say, Lord, you know what I'm dealing with. I don't need to talk to anybody. I don't need to discuss this. You said whoever will speak to the mountain and say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart. We might doubt in our head sometimes. Thoughts come to bombard us, but down deep in our heart, we know we heard a word from God, and we hold to that word. And Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. What a beautiful promise of the Lord. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that curses fig trees and they dry up from the roots. And we change our land and we change our life. We change our future and go on with God. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. The altars are always open for those who would like prayer tonight, or come stand before the Lord and separate yourself to the Lord in a special way tonight. Let's let this word of the Lord go deep into us. We speak to mountains and we ask for things we desire. This is the way of the Lord for us. We go from faith to faith and from strength to strength, from purity to purity, from righteousness to righteousness, from victory to victory by the Spirit of the Lord. God bless you with the word tonight.